Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and while the Trump budget would cut food stamps and otherwise treat low-income people as suspected of being leeches, certain other Americans are preposterously overpaid. The pay gap between chief executive officers and their workers is higher than ever before. Depending on the method of calculation, CEOs get paid between 300 and 700 times more than the average worker. In other countries, the gap is not nearly as large. My guest now is a former high-paid CEO who became obsessed with the question of why CEO pay in the U.S. is so untethered to the wages of average workers and what can be done about it. Stephen Clifford, formerly a CEO at large companies like King Broadcasting and National Mobile Television, is, in his own words, biting the hand that fed him in his new book, The CEO Pay Machine, How It Trashes America and How to Stop It. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You started writing this book in 2013, I see, when you realized that the four highest paid CEOs in America at the time were men with capabilities of thousands of others who had, quote, demonstrated different ways to be preposterously overpaid. So who are these CEOs and how much are they making?
Well, I took the four people that were named the highest paid CEOs in 2011, 12, 13, 14. They all made over $100 million, and I think on average was about $150 million for the four of them each. And what is surprising is if I took the four highest paid NFL players, you would have heard of all of them. You would have not heard of any of these people. In fact, their records are, you know, mediocre. And that is what's probably the most stunning thing about it. I wasn't looking for egregiously overpaid people. I was looking, just took the four highest paid and went through to see how they actually made the money they made.
When you say you haven't heard of them, that's not because, unlike football players, they don't work in the entertainment industry. You write, incredibly, none of these four companies produced exceptional financial results.
Not that year, not the year they had not the year that these people were named the highest paid at all. In fact, almost all the studies show that CEO pay and company performance, no matter how you measure company performance, are at best weakly correlated, or at worst, inversely correlated. The more you pay the CEO, the worse the performance.
Well, if CEO pay is growing so exponentially, faster than the average worker pay, and the gap is becoming larger, somebody's making these decisions based on perceived value. Is it corporate boards?
It is specifically the compensation committee of the corporate boards who recommend it to the full board, and the full board never goes against the compensation committee. But, you know, it's not even a thoughtful decision in that they're all following a formula, what I call the pay machine. They're all following a bunch of procedures and practices that individually each one may make some sense. When you put them together, you get an insane result and an absolute guaranteed income explosion by the CEO. So it's almost a mindless exercise they go through, and then they come out and say, well, this year it's $35 million, but gee, we've done so much work to get there.
And it wasn't always like this. You say in 1965 at large firms, the CEO-to-worker compensation ratio was about 20 to 1. It was 26 to 1 in 1978, and now perhaps as high as 700 to 1. What changed?
Well, what changed was the pay consultants came in. Before 1980, you really didn't have executive compensation consultants. We're not significant. Now they're universal. Every big company has a compensation consultant. And the compensation consultants all come in with the same practices and procedures, which I call a pay machine, and they crank it up, and each year it gets larger and larger. So the big change came when companies were sticking to the 20 to 25 ratio. They had something that they called, they were guided by what was known as internal equity, how the CEO's pay compares with everybody else's pay. So a general gets paid more than a private. Everybody knows that, but a general gets paid probably 20 times what a private makes. They moved to a different system. They said, the pay consultants came in and said, your CEO, the pay you have, your CEO's pay should be set by what other CEOs make, which frankly makes no sense. But it made the – when CEOs saw how this whole machine worked for them, they were very quickly to get higher pay consultants. So now you have pay consultants at all the major companies.
It's certainly a common bargaining strategy, right? If I'm the – if I'm the CEO of Pepsi, I say, look, the CEO of Coke is making – twice as much as I am, and they sell as much soda as we do. So that's certainly, you know, when you look across the industry.
Well, that might be a bargaining strategy, but when you go into it, what they do is they put together a peer group. Now, when you look at these peers, and they're, by the way, the peers they select all have highly paid CEOs, highly paid CEOs. When you look at the peer groups, they make no sense. In my book, I talk about the CEO of United Health Group. Okay, on his peer group were Apple, Google, Goldman Sachs, IBM, Facebook. No, they're not going to hire this guy.
Which are much wealthier companies.
Much wealthier companies, and also he had worked for only two companies in his life: an accounting firm and United Health Group. Google's going to hire him. Apple's going to hire him. I mean, CEOs. These companies are not looking to hire your CEO.
So you're making the argument that companies, their boards, are acting against the company's own interests because they're paying their CEOs more than they're worth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My guest is former CEO of several companies, Stephen Clifford, who has now written the book, The CEO Pay Machine: How It Trashes America and How to Stop It. We can take your phone calls. Anybody out there has ever been on the compensation committee of a corporate board? Want to weigh in on how this actually works and if you think it's out of whack and how it got that way? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anyone else, 212-433-9692. Is this the right place or the wrong place to put our outrage if our concern is decent compensation for all American workers? We could say, okay, the CEO pay is way out of whack in the ways you've been describing, but that's only one person per company, even if you brought it back down to a historically average 20-to-1, you know, ratio to the lowest paid worker. That's not putting enough money back into the system to change average wages, to save the middle class in America. So this is the wrong receptacle for a lot of our outrage. What would you say?
I disagree. From 1945 to the late 70s, average wages, productivity, and GNP were all tied together. So the average worker got the benefits of the increase in productivity. Productivity has continued to increase since 1980, a little less rate, but still. So the economy's growing. Average wages have stagnated to be basically flat. Now, what's happened? That money has gone to the 1% and really the 0.1%. 40% of all the gains from productivity since 1980 have gone to the 0.1%. That's 124,000 households. Those 124,000 households are not athletes and they're not movie stars. 70% of them are business executives. Those business executives' compensation is highly, highly influenced by what CEOs get paid. So the money that used to go to the average worker, a huge amount of this is now going to people whose pay is influenced by CEOs. They're the reasons the average American hasn't gotten a raise in 30 years.
John on Long Island, is that where you are? You're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, this is John. I'm curious. This to me, it smells of RICO. Where these guys are all acting in collusion. They're on the boards of each other's companies setting the pay for themselves and stealing from the shareholders and the employees.
Well, It does sound like that, doesn't it? Especially when you look at the corporate boards and you see that on most big companies, the majority of board members are either sitting CEOs or ex-CEOs. It certainly sounds like an inside job. And let me say, if the cost of some CEO pay has risen at a real rate of 1,000%, 10x since 1980. If the cost of anything else had risen 10x, you would have boards asking questions about this. I mean, suppose the cost of shipping had risen 10 times. Corporate boards would be saying, what the hell are we doing in shipping? But with CEOs, they're not asking that question.
John, thank you very much. By the way, what's your story? How did you go from being a CEO to being so critical of the pay practices?
After I retired, I lined up a bunch of corporate boards because they're a great gig. And I was working on some compensation committees.
You say they're a great gig. You don't get paid, or do you get paid?
Oh, you get paid
on a corporate board?
Oh, yes. You know, with big companies, these companies I write about, board members get $300,000, $400,000 for attending a number of meetings.
Yeah,
it's not a bad deal. Excuse me. So we had the same – these were smaller companies I was working with, but we used the same system that I call the CEO pay machine. And I said to myself, this is crazy. This doesn't make any sense.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Stephen Clifford, formerly CEO of companies like King Broadcasting and National Mobile Television, now biting the hand that fed him, as he puts it in his new book, The CEO Pay Machine, How It Trashes America and How to Stop It. And we'll get to the how to stop it part in just a second. You were telling your story of retiring and joining some corporate boards and having your eyes open.
We were using this pay machine, and it wasn't that we were paying outrageous sums, but the system made no sense to me. So I started to – I went to the rest of my comp committee and said, this is crazy. We got to change it. They said, no, you don't understand. That's how it's done in America. This is – you know, the consultants know this. So I began to do more research just to bring them around, and I found out not only is it crazy, it's really harmful. It's harming the American economy. It's harming the companies that use it. It's really actually something of a threat to democracy. It's a very, very harmful system.
B in South Amboy, you're on WNYC. Hi, B.
Hi, how are you? I'm just wanting to raise a question that I'd like your guest to comment on, and that is that it seems to me from my observations that CEOs get rewarded for reducing labor costs primarily, and that means that they actually make more money when their workers make less. And another big claim of efficiency is the outsourcing of work to foreign laborers, both inside the country as H-1B visa workers and outside with, you know, the more classical outsourcing. So I'd just like to hear your guests' comments on those observations.
Well, it's absolutely factually true. I mean, CEOs are supposed to control cost in any way they can and are supposed to keep labor costs as low as they can and keep supplier costs and keep all costs as low as they can. I mean, the good parts of that are the economic growth that comes from capitalism. The bad parts of that are the bad parts of capitalism. But that you know, if you're in a capitalist system, a CEO is supposed to control cost and outsource and do all of those things. And if you want to stop that, you need to legislate against it.
Rita in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rita.
Oh, hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Great topic. Connecting your last guest and this current guest, I would like to know what percent of top paid CEOs have employees on food stamps? For example, I think in 2014, we, the taxpayers, subsidized Walmart about $6.2 billion in food stamps and Medicaid, thereby, you know, adding to their profits and probably CEO pay. So,
Rita, thank you. And I don't know if you heard our previous segment, Stephen, but part of it was about people who are full-time workers who nevertheless qualify for food stamps because the minimum wage is low enough for that.
Right. I would have no data on that. I know that Walmart has often been cited, but I have no data on it.
Now, you offer solutions to excessive CEO pay in your book. like salary plus restricted stock, no pay for specific performance, no short-term bonus, no stock options, no after-the-fact adjustments by the board, no pay consultants. There's a lot of no's. What right. should they do?
Well, the biggest, I think the biggest reform I have is I would have a luxury tax on CEO pay. I take a page from Major League Baseball, where when your team salary exceeds a certain amount, you pay a luxury tax. And I would say that any payment to a CEO or any single executive over $6 million a year, you should pay a dollar of luxury tax to the federal government. That would end this fiasco very quickly.
So that would just be an income. I mean, the baseball situation is you have this finite group of 30 teams and they're in different size markets. So with all the television revenue in New York, the Yankees and the Mets can afford to pay players a lot more than, you know, teams in Milwaukee and right. Pittsburgh. So the luxury tax is to make it a level playing field in an industry where if you don't have a level playing field, you don't have a good product. You're talking about just really taxing wealth in America.
No, I'm talking about taxing a specific type of wealth, which has caused a great problem. I'm not talking about taxing. If people make their money on a free market system, I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with hundreds of million dollars to private equity partners who make their money in a free – this is a rigged system. This has nothing to do with the market. CEOs – other companies are not chasing your CEO. It's a rigged, corrupt system, and that's the and it's causing a huge amount of problem, and so we've got to stop it.
The false the myth of competition for
Correct.
CEOs. So when you say salary plus restricted stock, what does that mean?
Well, you get salary, you spend it. Restricted stock is stock in the company that doesn't belong yet to you. You have to Over time, it would belong to you, so it's restricted for like 7 years, and I would have it restricted for your entire time that you're with the company, plus 3 or 4 years after. Hmm. So most of your pay is going to come in the form of stock that you can't sell immediately. So you're a long-term shareholder, and everything you do as a CEO is looking long-term, whereas today, everything you do is looking for today's stock price, and that's economically disastrous.
And no pay for specific performance? Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Don't you want to tie pay to performance?
No, you don't. It's too powerful. When you tie pay to, let's say I tie pay to, you can get a $30 million bonus if your earnings per share are up 8%. You're going to do everything to get the earnings per share up 8%, and you're going to neglect everything else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And think of CEOs are in a way no different than generals in wartime. Think of giving specific performance bonuses to a general in wartime. How much harm that would cause.
If you said, you mean if you capture this territory – You're going to get paid more. It takes your mind off the big picture.
Absolutely. And, you know, you set something up and you say, well, if you win battles, you'll get this. Well, you fight easy battles that are easy to win.
Yeah, right. Walter in Morganville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Walter.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
Yes. My idea, which I've been proposing for years now, is to just tie CEO pay to a factor, a ratio between the upper highest paid to the lowest paid worker, and just set a limit, let's say 50 or 100, and which so this way, when you increase the CEO pay, everyone gets a raise all the way up the line.
Thank you. People have also proposed we have a minimum wage in this country. We should have a maximum wage in this country so that it's enough for people to get really rich, but not enough for the insane situation that we find ourselves in.
Well, for rather than maximum wages, I'd prefer a more progressive tax system to try and accomplish the same thing. I mean, we had much higher rates of taxation in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and the economy did just fine. So the idea that you need low rates of taxation to make the economy grow is just historically false.
And Walter's specific idea of, I guess by law, a ratio from CEO to lowest paid worker?
You know, they'd find a way to jimmy it. I mean, you know, you've got the, they're going to have the best lawyers and the best accountants and anything like that. They'll find a way around it, I unfortunately.
We have 1 minute left. We're going to let Jennifer in Cornwall on Hudson ask one quick question. Jennifer, hi.
Wanted to know, I echo the idea of the ratio for the tax incentive and to give a tax incentive to corporations that reduce the ratio of the CEO pay to the lowest paid worker, and also inversely to impose a tax that would make up for CEOs that get excessive pay when the workers have to go to government subsidized programs like SNAP benefits and Medicaid.
Jennifer, thank you. So is anybody listening, or are you whistling in the wind at this point?
I would say that no one on corporate boards is listening. And I would say the only thing that's going to get them to listen is the threat of some kind of legislation. And that's why I'm pushing this legislation. Not so much that I think it's going to pass, but only the threat of legislation is going to make any difference.
Remind me, what's at the heart of the legislation?
A tax over a certain amount of pay, a luxury tax.
Right.
It could be something else. I mean, your listeners have solutions. But only the threat of legislation is going to force boards to act responsibly.
Stephen Clifford, formerly a CEO of several companies, his new book, The CEO Pay Machine, How It Trashes America and How to Stop It. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.